All right, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, and again, we're not teaching tonight on our topic of heaven. I'm going to spend a little bit of time about Thanksgiving, and in a little while, I'm going to give a few of you a chance to speak if you'd like. Boy, is that dangerous. But you'll see where we're headed here in a moment. Psalm 136, we're going to read several verses together. I want you to start with me in verse 1. You follow along, and then I'm going to skip around a little bit. But Psalm 136, starting in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Skip down to verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth ever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, Thanksgiving, of course, is tomorrow. And honestly, it's one of, if not my favorite, of holidays. Not just because of food, and not just because of family and the other things, but Thanksgiving is a day that was set aside by our forefathers to thank God. That's what it was for. The pilgrims and others in the late 1600s or early 1600s set a day aside, and they literally were thanking God for the provision to get through the upcoming winter. That's what it was for. And his goodness to them throughout the year. It was never intended to be a big NFL football day. Wasn't intended to be a big shopping day. It wasn't intended to be just a family get-together day. It was intended for man to take time, get together, and share with each other God's goodness. That's exactly what Thanksgiving's for. It was his blessing on us. Now, I'll be honest with you. I hope God gets some of your day tomorrow. I want you to eat and sleep. And eat and sleep and eat some more. I have no problem with that. I want you to be with family, and I want you to enjoy that, and I want you to do whatever you normally would do on a Thanksgiving day. Tradition at the Bush House is we go hunting in the morning, and we, for the last good night, 10, 12, 15 years, we've always killed something on Thanksgiving Day. It's just been a tradition, so somebody's got to kill something tomorrow, amen? Something's got to give its blood. That's just been a tradition, and then we go and we eat, and then if we didn't kill something in the morning, we go back and try it in the evening, and it just is one of those traditions that we've done. But the whole point is this. It's more than the turkey, potatoes, dressing, cranberries, beans, pies, gravy. And gravy. Thanksgiving is... notice I didn't put sweet potatoes in there. Thanksgiving is about being thankful to God and his hand of blessing upon you. That is honestly all that it's for. I'd love for God to get some of your time tomorrow. Whether you do it as a group or if you do it privately, it matters not. But the question is this, will God get any of your time? Will God get any thanks tomorrow or not? Psalm 136, God gives us seven things for which we should be thankful. I'm going to run through these. There are more things in here. I picked out basically the big seven here, what I call the big seven in Psalm 136. And by the way, I'm not asking that you take time and do all seven of these things. You could choose one. You might choose to do all seven. That's fine. But it'll be very simple for you. But I challenge you, try to do at least some of this. So, here we go. I'm going to hurry here. Number one, we need to thank God because God is good. Right. We need to thank God because, and by the way, God is good. Notice, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
That's right.
He is good. Can I tell you something? God is
good.
Amen.
When it's going good, God is good. When it's going bad, God is good.
Yes, sir.
When you're feeling good, God is good.
That's right.
When you're feeling not so good, God is good.
Amen.
When, can I tell you something? God's goodness is not based on circumstances going on in your life. Did you know you could have the flu, but nobody else has to have the flu? God's still good? Just because you have the flu doesn't mean God's not good.
Amen.
That's right.
Circumstances have nothing to do with God's goodness. God is good. It doesn't say God does good. It says God is good.
That's right.
Doesn't say God is doing good for others. It says God is good. It is by the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It's because of how good he is, not the good that he does. Take time to thank God for how good he is. God's not a sinner. Aren't you glad you serve a God that's not a sinful God?
That's right.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you serve a God that's... and I don't need forgiven for this. I'm glad we don't serve Allah. Who says if you don't serve Allah, then you ought to be killed.
That's right.
I'm glad we don't have a God like that.
Yes, sir.
God's not a sinful, vengeful kind of God. He is sinless. He is the supplier of all good things.
Yes, sir.
You realize the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from your Father in the heaven?
That's right.
Well, if every good and every perfect gift comes down from heaven, where do the other ones come from? No, they come up from the other direction, from Hades. Brother Stoltz and I were talking just a little while ago. Why is it that when something goes bad, we're quick to say, God, why'd you do that?
That's right. That's right.
But when something goes good, you don't say, God, why'd you do that?
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
God didn't sin, you did.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
God isn't reaping for sin, you are. God is good no matter what. Our sin causes us not to get all of his goodness. Did you know that even when things are bad for us, God's good?
That's right.
God's good how long? All the time. Let's not be this... Everybody look at me for a second. I'm going to make a statement here that's politically incorrect, but I love it. Let's not get to the modern entitlement welfare mentality that God should give us something because of his goodness just because we want it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Good point.
Exactly.
We want to scream and holler at the welfare people for getting stuff that's not theirs, and yet we want welfare from God.
That's right.
I think it's in the state of Oregon that the current administration is suing one of the local police departments, state police departments there, because of the 1,000 jobs there, they didn't allow any illegal aliens to put applications in. So they're suing the state police department because they didn't hire illegal aliens. They're discriminating against them. How can people that aren't even citizens uphold the law that they didn't even abide by to get into our country?
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Welcome to your current chief administrator. Can I tell you something? God's good in spite of it.
Yes, that's right.
God's good enough he didn't put Hillary there.
Amen.
That's worth thanking God for tomorrow all day long, let me tell you. So, first of all, God is good.
Amen.
Number two. We should be thankful that God's mercy is everlasting. This chapter is a bit redundant. You'll see the term, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, let me help you with something. I've said it before. Let me say it again. Mercy isn't you doing something wrong and saying, well, I plead mercy, don't punish me. And you say, okay, I believe you're sincere. I believe you have a good heart. I won't punish you. That's lack of justice.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's wrong. That's not what mercy is. Mercy is Brother Stoltz breaks the law, and God says, I'm sorry you broke the law. I love you. Here's your punishment, but let me help you through your punishment.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to have a bad attitude with you because you broke the law. That's what mercy is. Mercy is an attitude of love in the application of punishment. Aren't you glad God loves us in the application of punishment?
That's right. Amen.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Praise God.
In spite of our sin, his mercy said, I love man enough, I'll die for him. I'll pay his sin debt, and he's still going to do wrong to me, but I'll forgive him anyway. That's mercy. It's not the lack of punishment or no punishment. It's the loving attitude with the application of punishment. God loves us and blesses us in spite of our sin. Do you know not a one of us deserve any good that we get? Honestly, think about all the good things you've gotten in life. Not the ones that you didn't get, but all the good things you did get. How much of it do you really deserve? If we got what we deserve, we'd be burning in hell right now.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's what we deserve.
That's right.
Anything above hell, that's benefits, amen?
Amen.
That's right.
That's blessing. This week, I opened up the mail, and there was a card in there from a friend and a pastor friend in a church in a distant state. I opened it up and he said, I want you to know that I and my church, we love you. We want to be a blessing to you at this time of the year. And there's a $500 check in there for our building fund.
Amen. Praise God.
Can I tell you something? God's mercy endureth. I don't deserve that. And by the way, you don't either, but God did it anyway. I needed the encouragement, amen, and it's moving along. It's coming in, bit by bit. Happy birthday, Jesus. That's where it went. So God loves us in spite of our sin and still blesses us. Did you know God's not going to stop the law of sowing and reaping because of you?
That's right.
Usually we get mad at God because of the law of sowing and reaping. Just because you don't want somebody to die, or you don't want somebody to go away, or you don't want something to happen, or you didn't want what came your way, doesn't mean it's God's fault.
Right.
Sorry. Well, he could have prevented it. Now, wait a minute. You plant corn, you're supposed to get corn.
Right.
You don't plant corn and get taters.
That's right.
If you plant corn and got taters, you planted taters, not corn. You're not going to change the law of sowing and reaping just because you want to. Once you put it in the ground and it starts coming up, you don't say, oh, well, I planted beans, but it's coming up as okra. I didn't really want that. It doesn't happen that way. Well, I want it to. Well, who made you, God, to change it?
Right.
This isn't I dream a genie and you blink your eyes and it changes. All right? For you older timers, all right? God doesn't stop those things. God doesn't take the weeds away.
Right.
Every time I go out in the garden or the flower bed, I get down on my hands and knees pulling weeds, and I say, I cannot wait to get to heaven. I'm going to punch at them right square in the nose. Oh, I hate weeds. I cannot wait for the day there's no weeds. Ladies, God doesn't take the pain of childbirth away just because you don't want to suffer. If you're going to have a baby, you're going to suffer. That's part of it. Now, so we should be thankful that God's mercy is everlasting. Everybody doing all right? So we need to thank God because God is good. Number two, we should thank God for his mercy. Number three, we need to be thankful for the great things that God does. Look at verse 4. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? God does some great things. He really does. Yesterday, early when I went in and prayed with Brother Harry, I said, Lord, I pray that you give the doctors exactness. Be with the doctors and nurses. Lord, thank you for the modern technology for us to know. I said, Lord, we'd like them to be able to go in and fix it right now, but if not, thank you that we have the technology to do it even by surgery. Guess what? They weren't able to do it. So they had to go in and do the surgery. But guess what? God brought him through the surgery.
That's right.
And praise the Lord for that. Do I enjoy that? No, but look at the miracles God's done. You say, do you believe God's still a miracle working God? Every day. We see it. Good night. Just look back there, old ugly brother Fred. That's a miracle sitting there, right there, let me tell you. What a miracle. And others. I could go on and on and on and on. The health miracles, the financial miracles. Some of you, I know what financial miracles you've needed. I've helped pray them down with you. I haven't been able to meet the need. So we coveted together and prayed. I know a couple folks in here, you've needed a couple of them recently. And all of a sudden, God provides. And it's like, whoo-hoo, look what God did. Yeah, God can do it. Look what God did for our building program. I mean, you talk about miraculous. And we're not done yet. I just can't wait to see what God's going to do with the rest of it. I'm being patient as I can be. But it's coming. Even with the election, with the press and the media trying to shape everything. And do you realize there's only 5 states in our country that are run by total Democrat, state and the governorship and the state house that are controlled by Democrats now? 45 states in America have either divided or conservative leadership. And they've been trying to color this thing and paint this picture that everything's the way it should be because of the current direction of our president. Did you notice the world's a little upset that Mr. Trump's kind of going to be bringing business back to America? The trade deals and everything else? Well, we just don't like his cabinet. It's not diverse enough. It doesn't look like America. Well, look what we had when it did look like America, and look where it got us. How about we put qualified people there? Doesn't matter what color, what gender, or anything else. Put them in place. I don't care if they're all green and purple. I really don't. I don't care what the skin color is. Can you do the job? You know, that is the requirement. We're to be thankful for the great things God does. Number 4, we need to be thankful. And this might sound silly to you, but be thankful for nature, for the universe God gives us. Look at verse number 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Can I tell you something? When's the last time you looked up at the sky and thanked God for the heavens?
That's right.
About 5:30 this morning, my son and my dad and I and another fella was out at the farm and looked up, and you could see the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and all these other stars. And by the time I got to my tree stand this morning, I was sitting there, and it's before 6 o'clock, and I just looked up. Yeah, most of you don't get up to see the stars, all right? But I was sitting there, and I started quoting Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And I just started quoting scripture, and I was sitting there just looking at the beauty of the sky, and all of a sudden, there was a shooting star that went, shoo! I said, that was pretty cool, God. I wasn't ready for that one. But it was just amazing. And I just took time to thank God for it. And it's funny. I know what time sunrise is. I know what time in 30 minutes before sunrise is what they call dawn. And the woods wakes up automatically 30 minutes before sunup. Almost to the minute, every morning. And it starts with a bird. As soon as the bird starts, then the other birds chime in, then the squirrels get up. And I'm just sitting here watching this thing. You hear the crack of dawn? Well, it starts with birds. And it's hilarious. And I was just sitting there, it's like a symphony. And it's, okay, I'm going to hear these. The other morning, the turkeys started. And it was hilarious. I mean, they were going nuts in the woods, and then all of a sudden the deer came walking through this morning, and it was just amazing just to see what God does. Take time to look at it. Take time to enjoy it. Folks, God made it for us to enjoy. especially on the plate. I mean, right beside the taters and gravy, amen? But we ought to be thankful for nature. Take time to be thankful for the beauty of earth and the enjoyment of your animals. Some of you have pets, and learn to enjoy them. I enjoy my dog. I enjoy playing with her. We enjoy watching her run. She's got two deer hanging in the backyard, and she's got two new buddies out there. And she just running around like crazy. I know what she's thinking. Come on, get the meat off them bones. Oh, and chew on them bones. And, you know, learn to enjoy those things, the simple things. Take time to know that God's in control of the earth, and it's going to keep going long after we're not here. All these global warming people. Oh, we're going to destroy the world. Can I tell you something? We're not going to destroy the world. It's been going for a long time before, and it'll keep going, because man didn't make it, God did. Take time to enjoy the sky. Take time to be thankful that global warming is not true. At 21 degrees this morning, it was not global warming, let me tell you. I was looking for some global warming at that moment. Man, it was frosty out there. Whew. Hey, do you realize how stupid they think we are? We had a blizzard last year. We had one of the coldest snaps in history on record, and they want to say, well, that's due to global warming. Now, let me ask you a question. How does hot air create cold air? It doesn't work. Scientifically, impossible. All right? Well, we have these polar vortexes. That is a global warming tactic. It's called the northern jet stream. It's not a polar vortex. It's the northern jet stream. It's been there forever. All right? There's no such thing as a polar vortex. It's called the northern jet stream. That's all it is. Just thank God you don't live in Minnesota. Amen? Because the northern one comes right over them every year. They've got about 2 feet of snow on the ground. Thank God I live in West Virginia. All right, number five, be thankful that God remembers us in spite of our sin. Look at verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate. Did you know that God knows who you are? You know that God knows you by name. God knows you by need. And God knows who you are. And he remembers you in spite of your sin. Did you know God takes time? As I quoted Psalm 8 this morning, I sat there and said, God, you know I'm hanging on the side of this stupid tree right now. How does that look to you? You know, and God knows who we are. He knows our name. What is Psalm 8? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? God knows us. He knows what we like. God wants to be with us in spite of our sinfulness and our selfishness. Right. You know, in spite of ourselves, God still wants to spend time with us. There's not a one of us that deserve to spend time with God, but he wants to spend time with us. I thank God. I really do. Thank God that God made us to know and fellowship with him. God loves me in spite of my sin and my failure. And God knows I have plenty of failure to be thankful for. You know, none of us are worthy to be called preachers. There's not a man in the world worthy of that. Not a one. But I'm thankful I get to do it. I'm thankful I get to be a pastor. I'm thankful, and as silly as this sounds, told my wife yesterday, driving back from D.C., I love doing this. I hate D.C. traffic with a purple passion. I do. But I thank God we get to go love people no matter where they're at. I had a couple preachers and folks praying for Brother Harry and Brother Arcola. He texted me yesterday. He said, Brother Bush, he said, you love people so deep. I said, what do you mean? He said, you drove 3.5 hours to come over this way to visit people who were in the hospital, and you drove over 2 hours to D.C. He said, that's a 5.5 hour spread just to visit people in the hospital. He said, not many preachers visit in their own town. I said, Brother Arcola, this is what we're supposed to do, isn't it? He said, yeah, but not people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. I thought that's just what you're supposed to do. Amen. And I enjoy doing it. I had one of Harry's nurses going crazy yesterday. A little black nurse was working on him, and we were giving Harry the business, and she says, "Man, you want me to get them out of here?" I said, "You can't kick me out of here." And she looked at me. A little while later, I told her I was a Baptist preacher, and she caught what I meant then. But she just made a little snide comment about he was, "Now, where's your wallet?" And he had to give it to his wife, and she said, what do they call that? Yeah, the gift shop is right downstairs by the emergency room. And she just went on. I said, "I caught that." She looked at me. I said, "Yeah, she's got the billfold now, and you want her to go shopping, huh?" She said, "Now, you were talking. You weren't supposed to hear that." I said, "Baptist preachers can listen and talk at the same time." Amen. It was hilarious. We had the place turned upside down, let me tell you. It was great. You know, learn to be thankful for those things. Learn to love people. Number six, be thankful that God is our victory over our enemies. Look at verse 24. "And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever." Can I tell you something? Sit down tomorrow and be thankful that God's taking care of your enemies. I'm going to make a statement here. Be thankful that your enemies are being cared for by God. He's feeding them. He's clothing them. He's trying to meet their needs. When's the last time you took somebody who hated your guts and prayed for God to do good to them? You might have a better Thanksgiving tomorrow if you do. I want you to notice something. You know, we need to quit feuding and fellowshipping with the enemy and just obey God. I don't have to invite my enemy to Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, but I can pray that they have a good Thanksgiving. I can pray that they enjoy their family. Just because they hate me doesn't mean they're all hateful. Somebody loves them. They love somebody. And I hope they are able to enjoy that love. I really do. Do I agree with them? No. Am I going to call them on the phone and say, "Oh, brother so-and-so, I love you so..." No, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's one thing for your enemy to have a gun. It's another thing for you to give them bullets and put it in the chamber. But at the same time, I can pray for their good. Our obedience to God will allow God to do what he wants to our enemy. When's the last time you prayed for God to change your enemy to see things right? Instead of praying God's judgment on them because they hate your guts. Let's not focus on our enemies. Let's focus on God and his care for them. Right. Boy, that one went over like a lead balloon. Number seven, and I'm done. Lastly, we need to be thankful to God for the food he feeds us with and the rest of the world. Look at verse number 25. "Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever." Much of the world doesn't know what Thanksgiving is all about. It's an American thing. It's not a worldwide thing. It's quickly becoming not even an American thing. Thanksgiving is just a day off to eat like a bunch of idiots and sleep so that you can shop all night. Black Friday now starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. I hate that. I'm going to say something Sunday. I'm going to preach on finances Sunday, so come ready with your checkbook. but do you know why they call it Black Friday? Black Friday is because that's where all of your stores start running into the black, making profit. It's not Black Friday for you. It's Black Friday for the retailer. It's Red Friday for the consumer. Most people will go in debt on Friday. The retailers will go into the black while the consumers go into the red. That's what Black Friday is, all right? But we won't touch that one tonight. be thankful for the food you have. Be thankful for, you say, "Well, I don't have everything I want." Who does? Some do, most don't. But we ought to be thankful for what God gives us, provides for us, And, you know, the more thankful you are for it, maybe the more God can give you what you want. And by the way, not just the food you have tomorrow, the food you have every day. Daily provision. Notice in what we call the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You say, what is that? We're to go to him daily asking him. You know, open up your cupboards and just be thankful once. Be surprised. Open up your refrigerator and be thankful. Most of you, you could open it up. You wouldn't have to go to the store every 2 weeks because you could live on what's in the freezer for about 6 months. You really could. Now, not everybody, but most. I'm thankful. Okay, God gave us 2 deer today. I'm planning on shooting a few more and helping a few families. No problem. But I'm thankful for it. I'm not stingy with it. I believe me, I understand what it means. I eat steak a couple times a week, but it's not beef, it's deer. I went out and shot it, I butchered it, did it all. We work hard at it. That's okay. I'm thankful for it. Can I tell you something? We ought to be thankful for the food, but watch this. We ought to be thankful for the food every day, not just tomorrow. We ought to be thankful for the food our country has. Again, I think this is funny. One out of every four children go to school hungry. Then you have 1 out of every 3 children in school that are overweight. So you only have 1 out of every 5 kids that are just right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now they have programs where instead of the kids that don't have something to eat go to the cafeteria before school, now they want to bring all the food into the classroom and everybody eats so that they don't feel weird because they didn't have something and they have to go get something. And I thought to myself, now we're going to talk about all these kids that are overweight getting extra food. Now what are they going to do? And since when was it the school's job to feed kids? We've accepted it. It's not the school's job. That's mom and dad's. And it's none of the school's business what you put in the kid's lunchbox. That's right. Michelle Obama can keep her nose out of everybody's lunchbox.
That's right. Amen.
But just so you know, in many school districts, the teachers now, if what's in a child's lunchbox or lunch bag isn't to quote-unquote school standards, they take it away from the child and charge the parents for a lunch for the child. Well, it would have been a cold day where the booger man went before my dad would have paid that bill. Yeah, I heard that from the outer recesses of the room. Let's learn to thank God for the food we have. Let's do this. Let's just take time tomorrow to be thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful to one another. Thankful for the things God does, that God is good, that all the things that we discussed, his mercy, all those things, God is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
What a wonderful thought. Let's take time. By the way, give God some thankful time tomorrow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. We're done a little early tonight. But take some time, even just yourself. Maybe you want to take time as a family, a married couple. Maybe you even want to gather the rest of your family together to do it. But take time to be thankful.